This is Courier Talking Football. I'm Eric Nicholson, and with me are Sean Spence there.
Oh my God. What's gone wrong with the world?
Jim Spence is still Sean Hamilton. And we're still talking about Dundee United and Raith Rovers making a right pig's ear of it. But have to say, Friday night, I didn't catch it all. Usually, my lads' football trainings on a Friday night, so I come in and a Sky Plus the Friday night football, and I'm impatient. I never managed to just sit and watch it all the way through. Right. So I come in about 9 o'clock.
I always fast forward
a bit. So Raith 2-0 up, saw the Raith goal, and then I must admit, I turned it off then and went to watch it live, and I could not believe Arbroath being 3-2 ahead. It was just like, yeah. But I mean, Sean will be the man that can tell us all about that in a wee bit, because he was that man rewriting his copy.
I was there.
So there was that, and then I thought, surely this will be United. I'll take that as their cue to go and put Partick Thistle away and remind Raith that their collective bottle has crashed, and that's it. You've had your chance, you've blown it, lads, but oh no, United, they fluffed their lines as well. I just were coming in this morning, I was listening to Radio Tay, and there was a wee clip of Jim Goodwin, I'm presuming after the match, or maybe it would have been, did he do a separate presser? Anyway, there's a clip of Jim Goodwin. I thought it was an intriguing wee quote. Mm-hmm. Just when you hear it rather than seeing it, you maybe wouldn't jump off the page, but it was just when he spoke and he said, it was along the lines of, you know, I was driving, so I wasn't taking shorthand notes, but the gist of it was, there'll be plenty of bumps in the road still to come. And I thought, I don't know if that's what I want to be hearing. I think he's right. I think he's right, because this is where we're in. But I think that captures, Jim, I think that captures where United have got to, and they've allowed, they're basically, I think, if you look at the league now, United are no longer head and shoulders above the rest. They're not even, I don't know if they're even above the rest in terms of, I think they're slipped right back. I think it's if you were to start a league from now, I think you'd have an even title race between about four teams. And I think that's a bit of an indictment of how United have let this thing slip to where they are just now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they're no head and shoulders above. I mean, to be honest with you, they should have scalped this league, you know, to kind of mix the metaphors. I mean, and they're not, they're a point ahead of Raith. It's nip and tuck at the moment. I mean, we can sometimes live in a rarefied atmosphere in this game, you know, although we've all got pals that are fans, punters, you know. Yesterday it was the annual gas boiler service at the Spence household, and the engineer was in. So right away, you know, it's one of the perils of having operated on radio and telly, right, calling for the courier people.
Did you offer him a cup of tea or coffee, Jim?
I always offer a cup of tea and coffee. I actually leave it at Mrs. Spence. We're old school in the Spence household, you know. I get the biscuits.
I gave him a chance to look good.
You give him a biscuit.
Biscuits. No, to be honest, he wasn't hanging about. He was right in there. Oh, Jim, you know, what about United, you know?
I thought he said he's right straight out of the job. No, straight about United. Quite right.
Writing about United.
Is he panicking? And
not only panicking, saying, you know, to be honest with you, he says, we stay in the Championship, I'm not buying a season book next year. And I think that's the kind of problem you've got. I mean, there's a lot of people kind of bored with the stuff United are playing. They know that United, with the squad they've got, should have been, I think, out of sight. You know, they've got, mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest wage budget doesn't always determine things. We know that, you know. But by and large, it gives you a massive advantage. And I just kind of wonder, there's something that struck me after kind of, you know, watching Saturday's result in the lineup was kind of, what does wee Matthew Kudjoe have to do to get a start in this team? You know, I mean, he's the one potential player that I think can electrify and bring energy. And we discussed this the other week, you know, mm-hmm. can bring energy and pace and, you know, a bit of drive to a team that are a bit too pedestrian at times, that start too slowly and all the rest of it. And yet, I think he's had seven starts. I mean, and they've never been defeated, I think, when he's started. Four wins and three draws or something like that, you know.
But he's not had many since that. I mean, most of them were in the early start of the season, weren't they?
I mean, so there's a combination of things that have gone on here. What's happened to them in between times, you know? Is it nerves? Is it inconsistency? What is it? I mean, because they're just getting over the line, and sometimes barely getting over the line, you know, against Thistle, you know.
I know they've got Arbroath coming up again, but it's been a wee while since they've really put somebody away, isn't it?
Well, I mean, as we speak, they've got Morton tonight at Caballo, and I mean, that'll not be easy. because I know they kind of, you know, they stumbled at the weekend. But I mean, Dougie Himmery's done a really, really good job down there. And that'll be a that'll just be a physical battle. That'll be a, you know, a real battle down there. So, you know, the prospect of United kind of slipping further, Jim Goodwin's right to say it, but then he's the only man that can stop that. He's not the only man that can stop that. The players in the park can stop it, but he's the guy that picks the teams. And it's now really, really not been talking. I have to say, you know, earlier in the season, I avoided saying United would scoosh it, but I did think they would win the league. And I still, in my heart of hearts, think and know that they should be good enough, but they're making it very, very difficult for themselves. I mean, I win at Thistle, and they're good enough to win at Thistle on Saturday. Would have put that wee bit of clear blue water between them and Raith. And as it is, you know, I'm saying it's getting tough. I mean, Raith have got Dunfermline, who are kind of rallying. They've done well under James McPate recently, you know. So I think it's a league that's probably is going to... There will be bumps in the road, as Jim Goodwin put it, you know, but there shouldn't have been.
You can't rely on either of them, can you, Sean? I mean, I did think that was one hell of an implosion from Raith, wasn't it? Was it a collective bout of the jitters?
Yeah. I mean, it came out of nowhere. There was nothing.
Third goal
to
was
suggest.
A shambles, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, Raith Rovers. I mean, I remember actually saying to a colleague at half time that Raith Rovers, they don't look like they're going to mess it up. That wasn't the word I used, but I'll put it that way. They don't look like they're going to make a mess of this at this point. They look very
one up at half time or two?
I'm trying to remember if it was two or not. I can't remember.
I think it was two.
Was it two? So they were two at half time. I made that point. I said, they look very comfortable. They don't look like they're in danger here. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, three goals. But as soon as the first one went in, they were just gone.
How long was there between the three goals?
Not long. Yeah. No, there's 16 minutes between the first one and the third one. So it was a pretty crazy turn of events and a little period in the game where Raith Rovers just completely ceased to exist in the game.
Did Ian Murray look shell-shocked after that?
No, he was very composed and he spoke for a good long time and... basically said it's one way to go. There are ways to go when your team has just been on the receiving end of a defeat like that, and he chose not to go right through them. He was like, well, you know, I can't be too critical this season. It hasn't happened very often, that sort of thing to us. Didn't see it coming, all that stuff. So whatever criticism he's got, he's obviously keeping it behind closed doors rather than digging his players out publicly, which I can understand under the circumstances. He's still one that would play for him between now and the end of the season.
But they were digging each other out, though.
Oh, I would
the players,
so, yes.
You know.
But that might well have been the case, and Ian Murray's going, well, I don't need to do this.
Leave
them
to
it. They understand.
Yeah.
They know the situation. But yes, it would be to be expected that players who have done what they've done this season and are in the position they are, knowing that they could have taken the top of the league on Friday, for that to happen, I would imagine there'll be a few of the characters in that dressing room would have been standing up and have plenty to say, and it would have gone a fair bit, I think, in there. So yes, they just completely, as soon as Arbroath scored the first one, they just disappeared in the game. They were gone. That was it.
Which is hugely concerning.
It's pressure, isn't it? I mean, I think we can see the effects of pressure on both sides. Now they both know the stakes are enormously high at this point of every single game. Because of, I mean, as you said with United, you could say they've allowed it to get to this in some respects. But at the same time, you could also praise Raith for putting an incredible season together by their standards. They've not done anything remotely like this for a very long time.
In the last couple of months, though.
No,
all,
I know, they're
the
both wobbling.
Stuff
they're both,
both
wobbling,
them,
but they're both still well. They're still ahead of the pack, if you like. Jim Goodwin has pointed after their... defeat the previous week, he said, we've only lost four games all season. You know, that's fair enough.
Know,
you can't say
I
that.
But
that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. The concern have been that three of them have been at home relatively recently as well. So that's another trend you could point to. But he's right over the piece. They have only lost four games. I think Jim Goodwin, to an extent, is caught in this sort of land between wanting to absolutely lose the plot and go, what the? You do it here, and probably not feeling that he can do that because of the delicacy of the situation. So he's having to just be very Jim Goodwin about it, if you like. And yeah, they could, I mean, as Jim pointed out, we can't go too much into this because there is a game tonight. We don't know how that'll end. Mm-hmm. But it's such a delicate situation for both Wraith and Dundee United at the moment. Neither one of them is wanting to rock the boat too much.
I suspect both managers recognise the flaws in their opposite team.
Yeah.
And I think they recognise they're well aware of the flaws in their own team. Mm-hmm. I think they both know they're both fragile.
Yeah.
And they're both walking on eggshells and they know it could go. Although it's going wrong at times, I think they both know this could go horribly wrong for both of them.
Absolutely. And I think both are understandably reluctant to be too critical with the players. I don't think they can afford to.
They think they would probably crumble more.
Yeah. I have to be with them here, and they have to know that I'm with them. Or at least that's what I've got to put out there publicly, that we're all together and all that. Because any sign of weakness on any part, it's just it's more fuel for the fire on the other side, I feel like. So they're both being very, very, very careful.
It's a scary place to be for United in particular, isn't it, Jim? Very scary place to be.
Management is difficult. You know, people talk about managing a team, but you don't actually know. I mean, I was going to say in the modern game, look, the truth is, it doesn't matter. Football's, when you're managing a team, you're managing a team, but you're managing also 11 individuals plus the bench, so in any given situation, you're managing 20 players. You're managing their hopes, their expectations, the ones who think they should be playing, the ones who think they should be playing on the right instead of the left, or, should be automatic choice or central defence or whatever, or the ones who think you should have had them seated and offered a new contract by now, And that's a problem at times. Is it 14 mm-hmm. contract at the end of the season? There'll be a lot of guys now, football players are no any different from us. They've got mortgages, they've got commitments, they've got financial commitments, family commitments.
Some of them all have five mortgages.
They will be concerned about the few. Who's got the five mortgages?
I don't know. I mean, five's probably a conservative guess for some of them.
It's just kind of, there's all of these things and more to manage, but that's neither here nor there. When you come at your work, you've got to do your job. And at the moment, United are not doing it to the extent that a lot of people think they should be doing it.
He doesn't know his best team now.
I don't know their best team.
Exactly, I bet
it's getting to that, isn't it?
That's a worrying one as well.
Yeah, I don't know the best team. I mean, when I look at the individuals that I like in the team, I know there was big, there was a lot of kind of brouhaha the other week about the central defensive position, but Gallagher and Holt still, to me, kind of look the stick-ons for that.
Front four are changing a lot.
Front four change, Grieve, kind of, who's a recent addition, I still haven't seen enough of him to hear kind of interesting reports about pace, but go about him and all the rest of it. Middleton just doesn't set the hair on fire for me enough. I mean, kind of tends to run more in a straight line at people. A lot of people are disappointed, they're thinking, Mo, I know he kind of, that he started off brilliantly and all the rest of it, but they're not firing on all cylinders. And I still think the biggest critique of United is the start slowly, and that lack of pace and tempo that they play at. How they overcome it, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that in training they do. I'm pretty sure in training they're flying. But when they actually, when they get on the pitch against the opposition, it's almost like a kind of a deliberateness about them. And I think they should have the talent.
It's not going to change now.
To play with
not
more
change
tempo. I presume the manager kind of, knows this and is trying to change it. But it's not changing. So I think this is just going to be a scrap between United and Wraith to see who kind of stumbles over the winning line. I don't think Wraith are going to blow up. I don't think United will blow up. But neither of the two of them are blowing teams out of the water.
I think if United don't go up, and we don't know. Well, we have a good guess on the finances. But I think January will have played a big, big part in it. I mean, with the honourable exception of Sir Spoonie, a fully fit David Wotherspoon is a big upgrade and can change the way a team plays. McClelland has every chance.
I doubt he'll play.
A bad move for him in terms of his St Johnstone career, because there's every chance he's not gonna kick the ball for Dundee United, which you think, well, what's the gain being on that?
What was the point?
Grieve hasn't improved the team So am I missing anybody? I think that's their January business, isn't it? And they've not upgraded really in January unless they get Spoonie on the pitch regularly. Somewhere near, not he'll never be well, the player he was of 2-3 years ago.
The talk is with Spoonie that they're aiming to get him back at the weekend.
That'd be a big bonus.
Be a bonus.
It would appear he is their only chance of having been of the January having been a significant upgrade in a position or two. And I don't know.
Not feeling good about that.
I didn't feel good about their January window at the time. And I certainly don't now. And I think that I know that getting his hair cut, get the money from the back of the sofa. Just if they'd done that, they'd have been 8-9 points clear.
They're probably making, I'm sure, but they're probably
that's like money for those in case anybody wasn't
there. They'll definitely be looking at the probabilities and percentages of how the season's going to play out from here. And I think it probably indicates that they probably felt reasonably confident that they would go on and win the league. And the question then becomes, well, if that's the position and we feel like we'll be okay here and we'll get the job done pretty much with what we've got, other than these one or two exceptions, one or two additions coming in, then why would you go and spend that money at that point? Because you're going to need a rebuild in the summer anyway, unless you're looking at Simon Murray and saying he's going to be with us for a couple of years after this in the Premier League, and we're 100% confident he's going to be the kind of player that we want when we get up there. Unless that's your position, you're not going to do it. So I would imagine that's probably, I'm creating this out of thin air, but it's probably a door open into the conversations at Tanner Rice in January.
I think you're right. I think you've got to take a guess on where the mindset is, and I think that's probably where their mindset was. I think
they were confident.
Si was keen to come back. I mean, he was keen to come back to Dundee. Mm-hmm. He'd come back to either Dundee United, I think. I suspect his preference would have been Dens.
I think it's probably... Well, you're dealing with Ross County at that time as well.
Roy was playing hardball.
Derek Adams was still there at the time as well. Yeah. So he was just in his nature, he's not going to be like, off you go. No problem whatsoever. He would have made life difficult if he could have.
Tango, doesn't it? I mean, it's one thing a player wants to come back, it's one thing clubs want to sign him.
So they weren't dealing with an amenable manager and an amenable chairman up at Ross County. Yeah.
But they've got what they've got, and look, what they've got should still be good enough to get them over the line. You know, there's a good team in there. There's a decent team in there. I mean, there's a lot of good.
I think what we're seeing now, what we're seeing now is that whoever finishes second is by no means guaranteed to be the one that plays the playoff final.
That's why you want to avoid that. Like the plague. I mean, who's going to come down? I mean, you know, would you take if United finished second? Or Wraith finished second, would you take them to beat the team they're going to meet in the playoff? And I'm desperately.
I mean, they'll have to finish beat whoever's third and fourth.
That's what I'm saying. Before you could have said if you were a Premiership team, you're thinking, we're playing United or Wraith, Wraith. I don't think that's a guarantee now. I think you could just as easy be playing Morton.
Thistle are playing Mel. Dunfermline. Dunfermline. Yeah, I mean, you look at in particular Thistle and Morton, and they're going really well at the moment. So the respective form for those two and for Wraith and for Dundee United, it's probably skew-whiff at the moment, isn't it?
On bare feet just now in terms of if the league has started and November, December.
Although Thistle have had a couple of crap results,
But
that's kind of your auntie was your uncle.
Indeed. But I'm just talking about in terms of standards for when the playoffs go. If when we hit the playoffs, there's no guarantee who will be the team that goes in to face the Premiership one. It's an open race now. So anyway, we're getting to the playoffs, and we shouldn't be getting to the playoffs. There's a lot more to go before that. Wraith Rovers. Come on then. We've kind of spoken about Wraith Rovers. Dunfermline.
All right.
You said resurgent Dunfermline.
Yeah.
Chris Kane's sorting them out a wee bit. Again, the players are coming back in a trickle rather than a flow, I think. But it is making a difference.
Yeah.
that whole league now is that so many teams feel a similar standard, and Dunfermline are, they've certainly stopped the bleeding. And
they have, yeah. Well, it shows you what a couple of wins can do in terms of the table. Because, I mean, it's very much like the Premiership. There's still a big congested section down towards the bottom. And I think Arbroath are really the only ones who are a wee bit adrift, and the rest is all kind of a few points away from each other, really. So, yeah, a couple of wins will lift you above that morass, if you like, and that's what's happened with Dunfermline. yeah, Kane gets his first goal at the weekend there, which is fantastic for him. But I mean, I was having a conversation, I think you were involved in it as well, with Ian Collin, who's our Fife football reporter. He was asking about Chris Kane at St Johnston, and, you know, what's he all about, and about his goals specifically. We came to the conclusion that you could fairly easily draw yourself if you look at his record. It's not really about the goals with Chris Kane. It's kind of a special striker in the sense
even
that
Peck's quote's got it absolutely spot on, and he knows what he's got, doesn't he?
He's a unique case in that he is he'll only really work in a specific sort of team, I think, in a specific position. But he is 90% of what's brilliant about him is the way he plays the game as a striker, and he plays as a striker for a team that's needing a foothold, basically some other way in the game. He's so brilliant at bringing the ball in and hold that up, and letting your team get out the park. He's equally, if not more, brilliant at buying free kicks in that position to completely reset the game further up the park in your favour. Yeah. And when you're a team like Dunfermline, who've been struggling a bit in the Championship, having that, and I mean, I really mean, like, if there was a table for world class ability on that front, he'd be right up there, golden boot. He's just
Lewis McCann should like playing with him, I would think.
It's unbelievable at buying a foul. So yeah, he will have a huge impact on that team if he stays fit and if he plays, just in terms of where they're going to be able to play the game now, because he will get them up the park, there's no doubt about that, and that opens up a whole new world for you.
You just kind of wonder if they've left it too late. You want to see the Pars as far up as possible. I mean, particularly for kind of, you know, James and Koptai, who kind of we've all kind of dealt with. You know, Kane, I think. I mean, Kane. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm listening. He's like Shanklin, but we're having this conversation. Johnny McFarlane.
He's the anti-Shanklin. Kind of
Rangers, but I know. I mean, somebody had said to me against Shanklin, you know, I mean, and he's no quick. I said, but no, he's quick upstairs. And Kane's quick upstairs. He you know, not only has he got all these great physical attributes, he's a quick-minded player. I think, you know, McCann and Moffat, either side of him at the weekend, they would enjoy playing with him, you know, because he's got that ability. All the things you said, you know.
He's as good as Shanklin at getting holding the ball up,
bringing people into play.
That's where it begins and ends.
It's
a significant part of a striker play.
Yeah.
He's a bit slimmer than Shanklin.
He's a smart player, you know. And I think, you know, Dunfermline had him earlier in the season, who knows, you know, but that's the nature of the beast.
It was the fit. Let's touch wood for him, and his injuries and Dunfermline. Right, Dundee, Sean.
Okay.
Luke McCann. Now, those quotes on both sides, Luke McCown and Tony Docherty, very positive about him signing a new deal.
Sounds it.
And that would be very, very good for Dundee, because I thought this would be a summer where he'd be thinking, my stock's high, if ever I'm gonna go up the career ladder, this would be the time to go. So
yeah.
What is he? Will he be mid-20s, do you think?
Yeah, I'm just gonna look that up, see exactly what his age is.
So he's probably got, if he's a sensible guy, which he seems to be, he knows he's playing in a good team.
He's 26.
It's
the time, really.
I would say maybe. Yeah, actually, you've changed my mind. If he was 24, I would say sign another deal, do another year or two at Dens, and then move. But this is a big decision
for him. It's a big decision.
Because if he gets 20 to 28, doing roughly what he's doing just now, maybe we were better. Yeah. He ain't going to get a move down south because they look younger.
No, I mean, that's assuming that he remains till the end of whatever contract he does sign. And I mean, if he continues playing the way he has been, then he is an attractive proposition for somebody who's maybe got a bit of money to chuck at it. So
I don't know if I'm being harsh on him, or I think it's more about what the type of football you'd get. don't naturally see him as an operator in the English Championship, which is where you would want to be. I could see him go to a Hearts, an Aberdeen, a Hibs, that type of move.
Yeah, well, maybe. And I mean, if
which
if,
is which is career changing in terms of money.
If it turns out to be that way, and he's there, he's at Dundee till he's 28. He signs a new deal and he stays there. Then he'll still go to Hearts.
Well, he can still do that. Yeah,
and that's fine. But I mean, he has been playing fantastically well this season.
Top scorer, right?
Yeah, he's been really good. I mean, the game that I watched the whole game of, the last one was St Johnstone, mm-hmm. when they were at Dens Park. He was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I thought he was best player on the park, and that's been replicated quite a few times this season. So for Dundee
United looked at him, decided not to go for him.
Well, that's whoops, yeah, you know, that sliding doors moment. Mm-hmm. But if he signs a new deal, it's fantastic business for Dundee. Really, really good business. I mean, you don't know what he's asking for. that's the other side of it. But for them to have him tied down, have him been playing the way he is. That just gives them a bit of insurance.
Oh, if they get it done early, if that's one that you box off, then that, yeah. I mean, we're not looking at a bit early to preview next season, uh-huh. but that puts the marker down straight away, doesn't it? And this is a team that's going to go to the next level next season, not get broken up.
Well, it's because they we've spoken about this enough. There was a big rebuild at Dundee in the summer there that Tony Docherty was in charge of. I mean, they do have a big squad now.
I'm going to say they'll have to be another because they're all alone, boys.
Well, don't know about a rebuild, but definitely a reshaping.
Yeah.
Because they'll want to keep their key men. But keeping your key players when you've been a Dundee or Dundee supporters will bristle at this, but a St Johnstone as well in the Premier League. I mean, if you've got players who are playing really well, they go. Mm-hmm. That's just part and parcel of it. It comes with it. If you've got a standout, someone will come and get them off you. Whether that's they're going out of contract and somebody's talking to the agent and, we're not going to be signing a new deal, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. Or if they're in contract, somebody really wants them, somebody comes and gets them from down south or whatever. That's how it goes. That's the path for a McCowan this season. So for Dundee to be able to get them, it's unusual and it's impressive and it indicates that Dundee are serious now at this point about keeping the players that they want to keep and probably looking for ones that they want to bring in as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just it signifies a kind of a lift in the organisational side of things.
Does
football wise?
Maybe I am a bit of maybe he could cut it down in the English Championship. But the guy, I think he's as important to, he's a bigger player to Dundee now, and as good a player in a different way to say like a Greg Stewart at his peak mm-hmm. at Dundee. Would you agree?
Well, he scored seven this season, but it's not just about a scoring. It's about the kind of the energy, the assists that, you know, he brings. He brings a dynamic.
Games slow down for him when it's hair and scaring for others, doesn't
he? Yeah, he brings a dynamic to Dundee. I think that's really intriguing. I mean, you know, the thing is with players, you never know their mindset. You know, I mean, if you're happy at a club, you know, a lot of players have seen their mates moving, or guys, you know, moving and maybe, you know, making a few more bob and signing on fees and wages and all the rest of it, but no cutting it, whether it's down south or elsewhere, and just no being happy and then drifting, you know, career drifts for a season or two. Sometimes it's terminal, that drift, mm-hmm. you know, they never get it back again. So when you've got a player playing as McCowan is at the moment, you know, at height his capabilities and more to come, because he's at a great age, you know, I mean, hasn't hit his peak by any manner of means yet, but he's at a great age as a footballer. He's a learner. I mean, he looks like a guy that kind of learns and, you know, kind of studies the game almost, you know, and there's so much to
he took his time, didn't he? I mean, it was the James McPake signer, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, the first season, he was a slow burn, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Sure. But, I mean, he's come on by leaps and bounds, and you kind of want. I mean, the other thing is that, you know, we don't know. We can guess at the extent of Dundee's ambitions. We've seen them this season. It might well be that Dens is a place you want to be. You know, mm-hmm. I know you traditionally you would say, well, you know, in the last 40 odd years, I mean, would you go to Aberdeen as opposed to Dundee? Yes, there would have been a time where you wouldn't have, but you know, would you go to Aberdeen? Of course you would. And now you're looking, you know, Aberdeen might get relegated. Aberdeen are down near the bottom of the league. Would you want to go to next season in the championship? You know, I don't think they will be.
I mean, this is probably another example of Dundee taking advantage of a weakness in Aberdeen, because I mean that's been the case in the table this season. We've spoken about that, but off the field as well. I mean, Aberdeen are a mess.
Yeah, at the moment, you can see that.
So I mean, there might well be somebody there who's going, right, who do we want to sign next season?
That's not the big problem up there.
When you've got the chairman coming to the next and giving it the old, we don't walk away, me and Alan Burrows don't walk away, you know, I mean, it's kind of, you kind of sense that there's a panic, and the Dons fans are on the warpath with what they're saying. I mean, Warnock was always going to be great value, but it's turning to be comedic value. To be honest, now I've got some sympathy with them, you know. I'm not saying Aberdeen are a bad side, but there's you know,
they're worse now than they were.
The money they blew, summer past. Unforgivable given all the money they were getting in from European football. To build a lopsided squad like that is a shambolic effort.
We're talking here about keeping the likes of McCown and building all the rest of that. I hope that Dundee have got Tony Dog nailed down.
You keep saying you.
I genuinely hope that. I mean, you know, see if you were Aberdeen, Warnock's going to the end of the season, why wouldn't you think about going for Docherty? You know, I mean, he's done a remarkable job. He's taken a team that have been a yo-yo team for goodness knows how many years now. And I know there's more to it meets the eye. The recruitment isn't just
the sort of tells that he and Dell leave. That's one of these things that we don't know.
You'll never know, really.
The Cobham team have been reinvented.
I would be very surprised if before this season ends we don't get a Dundee, here's your Tony Docherty extension announcement. I think that'll happen in the next few weeks.
They'd be mad not to.
I think that'll happen in the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it doesn't happen, say, before the start of next season, I mean, what is it? I can't even remember what his contract is. But if it doesn't happen before the start of next season, which I fully expect to, then I think you'd be thinking Tony Dog is minded to, okay, I might get another move out of this, you know?
Well, other chairmen and agents don't just take notice of kind of players that are doing well. They take notice of managers. I mean, I was on the phone yesterday to somebody who's kind of quite tight with somebody who might be Old Trafford. Next season, you know, say no more.
That's a lot of mates.
Can't be a mate.
Obi's a useless manager. Keep him down there.
No, but I mean, you know, it's. I mean, he has done. He's done a great job at Dens, and every manager, every player can have a purple patch and all the rest of it. But this has been a long purple patch. I mean, to maintain. I mean, I know they've dropped out after. The defeat Easter Road, they dropped out the top six.
I still think they're letting things slip through their fingers a wee bit. I still do, but you can't chip away at the general positivity at Dens and the upward curve and all the rest of it. And things like the McCown quotes are a reminder of, I do think this is I think they are building on solid foundations now for the first time in a long time. I do see, and I think how many years ago? Well, it was when United went down when Dundee relegated. That was the last time we thought there was a big up. And if you think it matters, but it does matter in our patch as to become, you know, the bigger, not the bigger, I hate that, the bigger team in the cup, but the more the team with the brighter future. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, you can't help but think, I think even if United come up, which I do think they will do, I think Dundee are still a club that's on a sounder footing to attack the future than United at this moment. And I don't know, it's just the whole Luke McCown thing made me think,
serious.
I'm not saying it took me aback, but I thought, wow, that's, you know, for him to be as positive as the quotes didn't look like a man who was just hedging his bets, put it that way, did they?
No, and I mean, I made the point before, for any club in Dundee's position, having just come up, and I mean, we say this enough when it comes to what can they expect to achieve this season? Well, they've just come up, we temper things with that. Well, equally, for a club that's just come up to be keeping their best player who's out of contract, that doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. So that's that is a statement.
Yeah, no, it's changing my. It's kind of, it's there's a few things making me change my mind in terms. I still think this is an opportunity for them, and you don't know what next season will be like with a possible, you know, with Aberdeen sorting themselves out, Hibs getting new money flung at them. Yeah, maybe Hibs getting new money flung at them, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, we'll only know if this was this, and listen, don't count them out.
Hearts will trouser another 20 million or whatever from Europe. Will. So, yeah, they'll be.
But no, I think solid foundations is probably the best way I can sum it up in terms of Dundee. But you know, I still think there was a missed opportunity at Hibs and a missed opportunity against Kilmarnock. Yeah. And in the short term, they should have won. Possible, they should have won that game on Saturday, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Yes, and there's been quite a few this season where they should have won them and haven't. So yes, that's. I mean, if you want to identify patterns, that's probably a pattern this season. So it'll be one for Tony Docherty to look at. Going forward, maybe between now and the end of the season. I mean, they'll do their best to shut the back door when they're in these positions, but hey, I don't know, maybe it's just one for next season now, I don't know.
They need to handle balls into the box better, don't they?
They do.
In terms of how they deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
It surprises me because Joe Shaughnessy gobbles them up or has been known to gobble them up.
Yeah.
I see a bit of, Joe's pace isn't what it used to be.
From back in the day. That was a long time ago.
It was true enough, but he's changed a lot. He's bulked up. He's a much, much bigger unit than he was when he signed. When he signed for Saints, he was almost a right back.
Centre half. He was tall, but he was rangy.
Yeah, very much so.
Wasn't built like a centre half.
I mean, when are they in action next? Is it Aberdeen?
We've got a week's break.
That, I think, that'll be a big test.
At home to Aberdeen as well.
Two home games, Dundee, that
was the first of the puddle call-offs, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, home to Aberdeen, the way Aberdeen are going at the moment as well. I mean, it's one. I mean, Dundee, I would love to think they're looking at that and going, right, we can really, really turn them over here.
I think that's a big huge
psychological blow for Aberdeen, that last one. That's a sickener. I mean, there was a lot of injury time goals at the weekend for a variety of reasons, but none more significant than those as well. Okay, Jim, we'll move on to Saints, one of the teams that cranked up the pressure on Aberdeen last midweek. Saints got 4 points out of six. Probably wouldn't have been the way if you were going to. You would certainly have signed up for 4 points out of six after the St Mirren game. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have predicted they would have been
that way around.
Mm-hmm. But it was very good. They were very good up in Aberdeen. And the spotlight was on Aberdeen naturally because, you know, both managers, you know, read the riot act after their respective Saturday defeats. Only one got the reaction he was after. And in terms of, winning the battles, that cliche and all the rest of it. But St Johnstone, they changed their shape. They looked had a totally different look about them and thoroughly deserved their win. Saturday, I'm not going to be too hard on them on
I'll
Saturday.
Do that later.
You do that later. I thought, yes, the first half was a dreadful game of football.
Second half wasn't much better.
Second half wasn't much better. It was marginally better. Saints tried to turn it into their sort of game. First half just became totally Livingston's sort of game, which I actually thought if Livingston, it was like any number of St Johnstone Livingston games I've watched over the years, and I don't know if it's given them credit, but Livingston looked like the Livingston of old, which they haven't done for most of the season. But they didn't see out, which old Livingston teams would have done in the past. It was their type of game on their type of pitch on everything about it was pointing to them getting a 1-0. So the credit where Saints get is they got their goal, and I dug through the stats and they're not winning a lot. They've against the teams around them. Saints have played nine from Livingston. So I'm talking, you have to include Aberdeen now. So Aberdeen, Ross County, Motherwell, and Livingston. Saints have played those teams nine times now under Levine. They've drawn six and won three, so they've not lost to those teams, which is, it's the old cliche, isn't it? If you're not going to win it, don't lose it. And on to the next one. I think 11 points of a gap to Livingston is enough to say they're not catching Saints.
I think so.
But it's between them, Ross County and Aberdeen for second bottom now. So that's where they're at. What did you make of their week as a whole?
I think that's the battle. I mean, there weren't many positives to take. I mean, you know, listening to kind of Craig's interview after the game, he was right. He just looked at the camera and went, "Oh, that was just a scrap."
It was funny because just interrupted, Jim. You got there before Craig Levine was leaving our post-match media bit as David Martindale was coming in. I think it was Levine first and then Martindale. And there was a wee bit of a crossover. Yeah. So they were blethering with us while they were. Yeah. And it was, the people were like, right, I don't remember that one too much. Like, well, thing, but they were having a, it was like, you know.
It's one of these games that kind of just doesn't linger long in the memory. You know, 10 seconds would do it justice. But I mean,
they both came in apologising.
Yeah, well, they both bloody should. Carey, you know, Carey's got a wand of a foot when he, you know, he wants to put a beautiful ball in the box. And Nicky Clark, you know,
it's lovely header that.
I'm a big admirer of Clark. So very well saying he wasn't a Martin or the rest of it was poor Martin. But you've got to find the space. Then you've got to put it away. And he did that. I mean, I'm a fan. I like Clark. You know, so that was one bright spot on the horizon, and the only other bright spot on the horizon is the league table, frankly, because you know if Saints were somehow or other to blow this now, it's almost impossible to blow it now. But I mean, they could still do it.
You're talking about automatic relegation,
yeah. I mean, that gap. I mean, you know, 11 points. You couldn't possibly blow that gap, could you? I mean, you'd have to go into
Levy's gonna have to win four games for a starters. Yeah.
So it's the battle to avoid that second place and going into that. You know, traditionally you would take the second bottom team to win. It hasn't always been done to win in the playoffs against whoever is, you know, comes up from the championship.
But it's fraught.
It's very fraught. And there'll be more of those press conferences, I think, with Craig Levein towards the end of the season where he has to
more apologies.
And say, that was a battle. That was just a scrap. You know, we had to dig it out. By the way, we must mention this. I mean, what a mess the pitch is.
That's $100,000 being spent on this too.
Disastrous.
But this is year after year.
Oh, just what it's a not mess. Good. I mean, that's a shocker, you know. I mean, that new American owner's going to have to spend a fortune, right?
No, plastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been, this will be hopefully by the end of it, a season to forget for St Johnstone, then they can, you know, really wire in about the rebuilding job. And Levine's there, isn't he? I mean, Levein and mm-hmm. you know, I'm not entirely sure the kind of what the role is there. Who does the coaching and who does the
Andy Kirk does most of the coaching.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, but they're there, I mean, they're there for what is it, a season
two
and a half,
two and a half,
year, two and a half year deal, you know. So he'll be rebuilding and he'll rebuild the and he started, you know, he'll rebuild in his own image. You know, and rebuilding, as Tony Doherty's shown at the Dens Park, rebuilding's a different game these days. I mean, you're actually rebuilding
say you
anymore.
Be as,
you're building
yeah,
per
you're
season.
You're not know. As, you're you wouldn't be as scared of the prospect as maybe you would. You're right, Jim. You know, Dundee,
your budget helps.
Dundee, mm-hmm. yeah, it does. Of course it does. But Dundee shocked us, I think, in terms of how quick they hit.
Yeah. They were very gelled, quick. Yeah, very. You know, they were quick off the mark with signings as well.
Oh, both. They were. But
well, the big problem with Saints in recent times has been recruitment, hasn't it? And that was always Jeff's mantra. It was always Jeff Brown's mantra. Get your recruitment right. You always like managers who, you know, could spot
good contacts book.
And had good contacts book. You know, now it's wider than just your manager having a contacts book. And that's the reason you've got a recruitment kind of staff at the back of you, you know.
I would suggest, Jim, if this takeover deal goes through, that will be the biggest change you'll see. In terms of,
it's needed. I think if you look at, I mean, you're talking about Jeff. He did always used to say that. You're right enough about having a manager, having a good contacts. But in St Johnstone's position over the years, that's made perfect sense.
Oh, and Kyle got the best players in Scotland. Yeah. Of that price range,
it makes sense for St Johnstone to prize that over the years up to now, because they want the manager to do that job as well as the job of managing the football club. The manager has to be in charge of the recruitment and decide who's coming in and whatever. Because they didn't want to waste money on having someone else in that job. And actually, that job wasn't all that common back then. Now, football's changed significantly enough that if you're in the Premier League in Scotland, most of your competitors, even outside Rangers and Celtic, most of your competitors will have dedicated staff looking at recruitment. Yeah. So if you don't, you're the one who doesn't. And you're asking a manager to do that job as well as another one that he's doing and what have you. So it's a lot for a manager to do nowadays. A lot more than it was before, because they were all at it before. Yeah, but now it's not. And St Johnstone have never gone down that road, really. There was an attempt at it a couple of years back, and that didn't work out. Stevie Greaves, I believe. So he left the club.
Yeah.
He's gone. Now, they never really replaced him as
not
such.
Really.
So.
Not really.
It's quite interesting if you think of the history of the game, isn't it? You know, I mean, at one time, I mean, I think about my Uncle George signed from Dundee St Joseph's Juniors and went to Leeds in the 50s, about 4 years at Leeds. And he was sent down to Leeds by the Dundee Scout, Leeds Dundee Scout. Now, in those days, you know, he was a teacher. He was a teacher at St John's, the guy. I was Matt McCollin or something like that. All the big English clubs and lots of even the smaller ones had scouts in Scotland to scour, you know, scour the land, whether it was Dundee or Perth or, you know, or wherever. And you think, I mean, Scott clubs, I'm sure, still have scouts that kind of, but, you know, it's become much more kind of professional and full-time than it was, you know. There'll not be many Scottish scouts scouting teams in England, but you've got directors of football, you know, and recruitment kind of staff who specialise in that and have contacts and the rest of it. So you need that because the game is, you know, I hesitate to say the game was always global. It wasn't a global, but I mean, in the UK sense, it was global because as many Scots went, well, certainly more Scots went south than ever English lads came up here. But that's gone. That's been one of the biggest features, I think, in the last kind of 10, 15, 20 years, probably since the days of David Murray started putting money to Rangers when we signed the big names. But now, you know, you get guys coming up who played at Shrewsbury or, well, where did Saints' most recent signing come from? Was it?
Warrington,
Rylands. Things like that. Recruitment is a huge part of the game now, you know, and there are, as you can see, there are still diamonds in the rough and there are decent players about. But the thing is, you can build so quickly now. I mean, as Doherty has proved at Dens Park, you can actually build a team really quickly. Whether you can build a team for any length of time is another thing entirely, because players move on much more quickly than they did as well.
But again, that's another way the game's changed in Scotland now. It is short-termism, and it is rebuilds all the time. And that's, I mean, so again, we've praised Dundee for getting Luke McCowan done. That is great, but it bucks a trend because it's not generally like that.
No, indeed. So where was what was rotten for you?
Right. Well,
what did you like over the two games? What didn't you like?
Aberdeen.
Over the two games?
I really enjoyed the performance up in Aberdeen. I watched that one on a stream, and I thought it was an ideal away from home performance for St Johnstone up at Pittodrie. And yes, Aberdeen are struggling at the moment, and that's fair enough, but they still have individuals who can cause you problems. Mm-hmm. And I thought that St Johnstone handled that really
well. One in particular.
Yeah. Well, they handled that really well while also maintaining a threat of their own, which is that's the bit of magic that they're kind of eluding them most of the season. They managed to have both there. Kimpioka deserves a lot of credit for that. He ran his heart out a lot of the game. And the players behind him who managed to pick him out a few times deserve credit for that.
They sussed
as well.
What Aberdeen weren't liking.
Exactly, yeah. And Aberdeen didn't learn the lesson from that either. They just continued to press right up on him. Leaving half a pitch behind them, and it was just crazy. They did profit from that. It was a brilliant ball from Jai Simi, who I really liked up at Pittodrie. I thought he was great. Played. He's had to be a square peg in a round hole. We playing up top for a lot of it before the break as well. I thought he did okay for a role he's not that familiar with. He was good. He was good in possession. He generally kept it and tried to bring other people into the game. Beyond that, there wasn't a lot, but he did that bit okay. So played out on the left of the three behind him. I thought he was good.
Yeah, he was still an out ball out there rather than through the middle.
He was. Yeah. So he was an out ball there, but then he was able to get himself to a point where he's got time to look up and have it. And he was finding Kimpioka. He found him with a great outside of the foot through ball for his goal, which was a brilliant finish as well. Another one like the Ross County one, but without the step overs.
And off a different foot.
Yeah. So another great finish. It's a good sign for him. Really, really, really impressed with how they played up at Pittodrie.
From
about 15 minutes into the game in the first half, I got that sense that, oh no, they're not competing in the same way as they were up at Aberdeen. That was the other thing. So the big criticism prior to Aberdeen game was, where's the guts? They're not fighting for second balls. It's that they're just letting them go. And that started to creep back in the first half against Livingston, I thought, after about 15 minutes. The opening 15, it just disappeared. Because
Libby was getting on top. Yeah. Libby had a better set. Better first half than Saints in amongst the rubbish.
They did. But, I mean, Livingston were able to do that without being impressive. Livingston weren't good.
But they
managed to have a better first half than St Johnstone, and I think some of that was because there was that leaning back thing happening again. Like we're not doing this, and that's poor. You can't do that. St Johnstone can't afford not to do that this season. You've got to get stuck in. You have to fight in the middle of the park. Otherwise, you will be on your heels the entire game. So yeah, they went in 1-0 down. I mean, it's hard to say they deserve to be 1-0 down. They certainly didn't deserve to be 1-0 up. But Livingston were rubbish as well. But they got the goal, so there we go. And in that position, the second half they got better. I thought I listened to Alan Preston on the radio talking, because he was the BBC reporter at the game, and he said this twice. He said it once on the day, and then thereafter, speaking about the game on the Sunday, he said St Johnstone created nothing. And it was like, hang on a minute, what were you watching? They did.
No, like biscuits to be negative, you know?
Sidibe through the middle.
But they did, also, as the game went on as well, certainly up the 10 minutes before the goal came, Clark's goal, it was all down that end of the park.
It was coming.
Kelton
started to get forward. Yeah. And yeah, it was.
So that was decent. And then after that, I thought, God, they were in danger of conceding one again.
When Ryan at that point. Falls over.
Oh,
yeah,
God. Basically. Yeah. And that's an error. So you can criticise while we'll look past it. Mm-hmm. It's unlikely to happen again. But in general, the tone of the performance for me was, again, lacking in willingness to fight for that second ball in the middle of the park. To take that, if it's a scrappy, minging game with no structure in it like that, will you be the team that wants to take the ball more than the other one? And then that gives you a platform. Then you can try and impose your game on it. But St Johnstone didn't do that, and I thought they were too passive.
I think there's a couple of things that will happen. I predict in the last 2 or 3 months of the season, I think we're about to see, I think Kelchins is a player, by the way. And I think Levine's been speaking about, obviously, he hadn't played for months and months and months before he came because of the Israeli season and the rest of it. I think he is a natural athlete, but he's been wary of, he's pulled him in and out. And I think we saw in the second half, and when he became more and more of an influence, and his penalty box tackle to deny a certain goal, I think he's gonna be a really good right back in the second half, the last quarter of the season. I've got a feeling. I don't know if it's just because I was speaking to him and he gave good quotes after the first time we spoke to Stevie May in a wee while. First time we've seen him, and I still feel there'll be a Stevie May moment in there before this season's done. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced Sidibe will get goals. I think he's an all-round striker who, Craig Levein keeps saying, he's finding the target. He's doing the right things. I think goals will come for him in the last stage of the season. But it's, since I've won 2 games in a row yet in the league, so I can't be overly confident about what will happen. And, Ross County are going for it a bit more. So it's going to be nip and tuck as to who's second.
See the goal as well. Clark gets it from a header. I think they were lucky to score from a header. As well, look at the big spaces, but look at the respective heights of the teams as well.
And they headed everything up until that point. Livy will be. They would be kicking themselves for the nature of that goal.
Yeah, absolutely. That was difficult. And I actually, again, I don't want to get too negative. I'll restrict myself to one more gripe. And that'll be, I thought Matt Smith was wasteful on the
ball. I'll go on and you brought me on. I think he's one in terms of, I'm looking at the change of system, and in the majority of cases, you've probably got more square pegs and square holes than with the system before. Mm-hmm. Because I think the two fullbacks are fullbacks rather than wingbacks.
Yeah.
And, you're giving away something in the terms of the centre halves. Obviously, the age profile and the running ability, they would prefer to have three, run two, but that's a trade-off. I think, as you said, Jai Simi looks in a natural position. Sprangler and Phillips are in their natural positions, a Clark and another striker, or Clark off another striker, whichever way you do it. You could substitute, you could put Carey in off a striker. That makes sense. The right midfield, Matt Smith's the one that he wants to be in the middle.
Yeah.
And so that is a bit of a trade-off. Wonder if Connor Smith might get a run afterwards on the right-hand side. So, whether it's a bold one if he suddenly decides to go Phillips and Smith again, as in Matt Smith in the middle of the pitch.
I wouldn't advocate for it just now either.
So,
but then somebody has to pay the price. Yeah, I think so. I think it should be. But if that's what you're going to ask him to play. But as I say, I felt for a player whose feet are so demonstrably good
and on dead balls,
and is good from a dead ball from a cross and whatever. I thought he'd do too many wasted balls in active in in open play and from dead ball situation. He wasn't comfortable. He didn't look comfortable to me.
Mm. Yeah. You were talking earlier on about does Goodwin know his best team at Tannadice? Does Levine know his best team at Saints?
I don't think you could. Is there one? I think you've talked about square pegs and round holes, and I think that's such a factor in it that really you're doing the best you can.
You can with what you've
with
got.
What you've got, and I don't think like this is the best we can do. I don't think that comes into it. I think it's just that'll work. Mm.
Yeah,
and I feel a bit guilty even saying that. I feel bad for them because it seems to carry with it this lot of rubbish. That's not what I'm getting at, because there are players in there who are not that. That's not fair. And there are also players who've had great careers and are coming to the latter stage of their career who probably, in an ideal world, wouldn't be week in, week out in a battle for relegation in the Premier League at this point. You know, so there are a lot of players in positions where they probably aren't as comfortable as they could be. So for that reason, I don't think it's fair just to go, this is rubbish. It's not. It's not as simple as that. But it's about trying to find a way to put a team together that is strong enough to get through this season. And that's really the be-all and end-all. And it's why...
That's the manager's mindset, I think.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of accept that. It's not going to be pretty. It just has to be what it is.
You never accept St Mirren away, though. That's the thing. That's the one thing you can't. And you probably wouldn't accept the first half.
No, there are limits. There are limits to that. And I think that when we talk about fight, we need to see fight. I mean, that is... real basics of football, you know, and that's the bare minimum. You need to see that, and see if you see that and it's not going your way and there are other mitigating factors, mm-hmm. then you can go, all right, mm-hmm. fine, it is what it is. But if you don't see that fight, then that's not acceptable.
Yeah, tough it. No.
Well, Levine is, you know, if he does anything, he identifies players that have got these qualities. I mean, it's, you know, the one thing you would seldom criticise a Craig Levine team for is a lack of fight and a lack of combativeness. So as much as identifying, you know, whether a player can play one in or whether, a fullback might be converted to kind of, a wing back, mm-hmm. a different type of role or whatever, is identifying the guys that will give you everything they've got every time, you know, for the first and the second ball and are just generally combative right through. That's why what I've seen the boy Sprangler, I like him, you know. I think he's got that kind of combative go all the time nature. A lot of players are like that. A lot of players kind of dip in and out of games. You know, you'll get 10 minutes where they're kind of really up for it and they're diving about and then the game's gone against them, the game's gone away from them and they dip, you know, they dip in and out. You need, I think, particularly, you know, I would imagine, frankly, most seasons at a club like St Johnstone, most seasons at most clubs, other than the kind of, you know, the clubs who are regularly up the top, and that's hardly been a situation in Scotland recent times, but, you know, outside of the top two, you need players who first and foremost can compete and have that kind of, that mental strength and aggression and all the rest of it. Because actually, you know, outside of this season where you've got Celtic and Rangers and Hearts are the best of the rest by a fair way as well, there's actually no vast amount between any of the teams. You know, I mean, you know, from Hibs, Aberdeen,
they could all kind of beat each other. Someone's their base level but doesn't drop as low as others. I mean, I think that's the difference.
You know, on the day, Dundee could be beaten. So there's no much. So what it comes down to, I think, is identifying a squad that have all got that same, that same appetite and desire for graft and commitment all the way through a game. And I think that's where, you know, when I say, does he know his best team? Maybe he knows his best team positionally, but he's maybe not entirely sure yet of the kind of the mental character. Because, you know, I don't think any manager can come in and pick up the mental characteristics of a team in 2 or 3, 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months. I think it takes a bit of time. Because, you know, there are so many scenarios you've got to go through. You know, you're maybe in sixth, you had a bad run, you drop to kind of looking as though you might be in automatic, in the playoff places or something like that. Players handle these things differently. Players handle personal problems differently and all the rest of it. So within a squad, I think you're looking all the time to see what the kind of, just how deep the kind of mentality is within the squad. And I think, I wonder if that's one of the things that Craig Levein, among other managers, is looking at the moment, you know, just how strong the squad are mentally.
Well, We'll finish there then, gentlemen. Just a bit bang on the hour. Thank you very much.
Didn't even mention VAR once.
Ooh. Oh, I can't be bothered. We'll do a VAR special. No, we won't. Yeah. No, we won't. Thanks again, guys, and thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it, or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people to find Talking Football, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget too to pick up your copy of The Courier Monday to Saturday, or go to thecourier.co.uk/subscribe to find out how to get our award-winning sport, business and local journalism across Tayside and Fife in the way that's right for you. The Courier. Local matters.